You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Acolytes of Hope. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
When life is treating you harshly, you wonder if there's any way out. When people hurt you, you wonder if there is anyone who can help. That seems to have been the hopeless situation of a woman in Mexico. She had requested a free calendar from our Cristo para Todas las Naciones office in Tijuana. Rather than mail that calendar, Pastor Aristarco Lopez delivered it personally. When he did, she invited him to come into the apartment where she was living with her two children. She then proceeded to unload all her problems. She was very discouraged, she said. She felt abandoned. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. She had no more taste for life. She proved it, too. She took out a picture of herself that had been taken a few years before, and Pastor Lopez said that he could hardly believe that it was the very same person. Now she was poorly dressed, her hair was in disarray, and the apartment was a mess. She told Pastor Lopez, "I have no hope in life." In fact, she said, she was dead in life. When her 16-year-old son heard his mother say that, he broke down and cried. When life is treating you harshly, you wonder if there's any way out. You wonder if there's anyone who can help. That woman is your neighbor, and she's mine. All of us live in the valley of the shadow of death. Too often we all are surrounded by its darkness and overwhelmed by hopelessness. It's not just death that plagues us in the valley of the shadow. Our lives are regularly tortured by dreadful experiences, accidents and tragedies, abuse and addiction, illness and disease, separation and divorce, tornadoes, hurricanes and floods, just to name a few. And there are fearful emotions that wreak havoc in our souls. Hatred, greed, anger, guilt, fear, remorse, on and on goes the list. Call them shadows. Shadows of death that can shroud our lives with hopelessness. Easter can seem so far away. Another woman, another neighbor of ours here in the Valley of the Shadow, wrote to me and said, "Dear Dale, I've lived most of my life in an unhealthy relationship. I am an alcoholic and was in an abusive relationship. Things were so bad that my son would sleep outside my door all night because he feared for my safety. As a result, I separated from my husband and was contemplating divorce. Our brave new world wants to avoid any emotions or experiences that are painful. But, with no disrespect to the physical or social sciences, with no disrespect to doctors and counselors, our brave new world seems to be doing a lousy job of coping with the shadows of death." Aldous Huxley foresaw that. His novel, Brave New World, appeared in 1932. Last week I spoke about death. Since the Brave New World could not eliminate death, they redefined it. They called death a natural part of life, not a consequence of our sin against God. And just as Huxley's Brave New World and our own society cannot eliminate death, so also we have not dealt very well with our fearful emotions and dreadful experiences. The fictional characters in Huxley's novel have been conditioned by their society to avoid facing the truths that underlie their emotions. "Feeling," says one character, lurks in that interval of time between desire and its consummation. Shorten that interval. Break down all those old unnecessary barriers. Should you feel any negative emotions, the antidote is a drug called Soma. A character named Bernard Marx says, "Now, such is progress. The old men work. The old men have no time, no leisure from pleasure, not a moment to sit down and think. Or, if ever by some unlucky chance such a crevice of time should yawn in the solid substance of their distractions, there is always Soma, delicious Soma, half a gram for hallucinating a half holiday, a gram for a weekend, 2 grams for a trip to the gorgeous East, 3 for a dark eternity on the moon, returning whence they find themselves on the other side of the crevice, safe on the solid ground of daily labor and distraction, scampering from feely to feely." Like Soma, people today use drugs to avoid feeling. Not that drugs are wrong, of course not. A few months ago, my daughter Elizabeth had her wisdom teeth pulled. Thank goodness for drugs to help ease the pain. Easing physical pain is different than medicating yourself to avoid dealing with emotions. If it's not drugs, it's alcohol, or the brain-numbing, mindless watching of TV, or video games, or time on the computer. Whatever. Medicate yourself with these versions of Soma, and you don't have to deal with the truths that underlie your emotions and experiences. Why, emotions might lead you to think. We can't have that. Don't let your emotions and experiences suggest that maybe the world is, after all, a sinful place, and you are caught up in the wrongness of it all. No, we don't want our pains to lead us to a sober examination of ourselves and to a confession of sin. Better to numb them through Soma or whatever than face the truth. But Bernard Marx, whom I just quoted, and Lenina, and other characters in Huxley's novel, cannot totally suppress their nagging, disquieting, often painful emotions. Neither can we. The woman in Mexico didn't. The woman who wrote me didn't deal with her emotions by using alcohol. I can't dodge fearful emotions and dread experiences in my own life, neither can you. Maybe Easter seems so far away because we want the good feelings, the glory, without recognizing the inevitability of pain and the necessity of the cross. Let's go back to that letter I received. The writer, you recall, was alcoholic, abused, and on the verge of divorce. She continues her letter, "However, because of your recent program about forgiveness, my life has changed. I had heard about forgiveness and about God, but up until this point, what I had heard scared me. After the program, I called to order the free booklet you offered. I spoke with someone who told me that God loves me, despite all of the bad things that I have done in my life. The person on the phone prayed for me, and I can't explain the feeling of relief that I felt. It was as though all of the anger, despair, and self-pity that had built up over the years was taken away. Because of your program, I have sought help for my alcohol addiction, and I've also been able to forgive my husband for what happened in the past. We are now in counseling together and have even started attending a church together. I don't know how this story will end, but I just wanted to thank you for sharing this message which changed my life." Do you know what made the difference in her life? It wasn't only what I had said on the program, although that played a part. What really kindled hope and started the change, and that's what we're talking about today, hope that causes change, hope that causes change for the better. What really kindled that hope was my coworker who answered the phone. Remember what the writer said? After the program, I called to order the free booklet you offered. I spoke with someone who told me that God loves me, despite all of the bad things that I have done in my life. The person on the phone prayed for me, and I can't explain the feeling of relief that I felt. That co-worker of mine proved to be a neighbor. As a neighbor in the Valley of the Shadow, she also knows firsthand the experiences and emotions that can plague all our lives. But she also knows something else. She knows hope. The hope that comes because Jesus Christ broke the stranglehold of evil by his death on the cross for all our sins. She knows that Jesus vanquished death by his resurrection. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "The appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And this co-worker answering the phone knows that the good news of Christ offers a dependable hope, a sure and certain hope to sustain us in the toughest times. In her own way and with her own words, that was what she shared on the phone. Hope. St. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Thank God for people like that. They are acolytes of hope. You know what acolytes do. Sometimes called altar boys or altar girls, these are the young people who light the candles for worship. People of every age who believe in Jesus are called by God to be acolytes of hope, bringing the light of Christ to those who are struggling with the fearful emotions and dreadful experiences here in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Because God, in holy baptism, robed his people with the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Christ, and because the Holy Spirit of God working through the good news of Christ's death and resurrection has kindled in them, Christ, the hope of glory, these acolytes are lighting hope every day in the darkness of our brave new world. They are proclaiming the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Pastor Lopez is also an acolyte of hope. I started today's message telling you about the woman who said, "Pastor, I have no hope. I'm dead in life." Pastor Lopez asked if he could pray with her. She said yes. And after an extended prayer, she said she felt hopeful again. She started attending Bible studies and worship, and Pastor Lopez is keeping in regular touch with her. He wants her to sprout roots in the Lord, as he says. Thank God, I'll say it again, thank God for people who take time to share hope with us here in the Valley of the Shadow. We need more acolytes of hope. Some years ago, I sat on a panel discussion in an evangelism workshop. Several pastors were on that panel, including one who had been born in Denmark. When each of us was asked to introduce ourselves to the audience and to tell what we do for a living, he simply said, "I preach the gospel. That's my job." Good, I thought. That's what it's about. The good news that God, by his Son Jesus Christ, has forgiven our sins and given us a new birth of hope by his resurrection from the dead. Too often we let that gospel get crowded out by earthly disciplines. So, good, I thought, when I heard him say that his job is to preach the gospel. However, as the session wore on, I revised my favorable opinion of his attitude toward the ministry. An older woman stood up to say that her childhood had been spent in Sweden. She recalled that the ministers were not friendly and outgoing. A few years ago, she went on to say, I went back for a visit and was amazed. Now the pastors are friendly. They even greet the people before church. To that the Danish pastor said, You may be sure that I will never do that. My job, he intoned, is to preach the gospel. The audience was visibly taken aback, and rightly so. A compartmentalized Christianity is a suspect Christianity. The good news is a voice that lives throughout the week. Yes, the Sunday morning pulpit is a most important place where that living voice of the gospel is to be heard, but this good news is too alive and too active to let itself be confined to a pulpit, and that for only a few minutes a week. This living voice from God, present in the Scriptures, present in Christ-centered, grace-emphasizing sermons, this living voice of God begets a living hope that is always ready to meet people in the valley with a good word from Jesus Christ. That's the encouragement of St. Peter. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. 1 Peter 3:15. That's the example left to us from the first apostles. We cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard, Acts 4:17. The darkness is so thick, so oppressive. Pastors and lay people alike need to be acolytes of Christ's lively hope. Acolytes. Always acolytes. Martin Luther wrote, "We have no other reason for living on earth than to be of help to others. If this were not the case, it would be best for God to let us die as soon as we are baptized and have begun to believe. But He permits us to live here in order that we may bring others to faith, just as He brought us. Acolytes of hope, always acolytes of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen."
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.